Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Come a little bit closer, brothers. Jazakum Allah. We have amongst us Hazrat Maulana Nazir Desai Sahib, who hails from PE. And his taluk and nisbat is with Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib wa rahmatullahi alayhi of Jalalabad. We are fortunate that we had had him before also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him here. We make dua that whatever Hazrat gives us a bayan and majlis, inshallah Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. We sit with sincerity, with ikhlas and niyyah, and with talab, with eagerness, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our hearts and we sit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill our hearts with nur. And whatever the speaker says also, then inshallah it will be implemented. We request Hazrat to come forward, inshallah, and address.
نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس إن خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. Respected brothers and elders Islam, ulama kiram, inshallah this humble and wicked servant will try to present to you in my own feeble, broken words, one of the greatest, the most dynamic events ever to transpire on the surface of the earth, and hoping that your du'as will be with me in order to present the most unique, the most miraculous, the most blessed events ever to transpire on the surface of the earth. I will try in my little way, in my broken words, inshallah, to present to the listeners. As an introduction, the Mubarak month of Ramadan passed by. We are entering now into the month of Hajj, the days of Hajj. What did this glorious, this Mubarak, this blessed month of Ramadan teach myself as a speaker, teach us as a speaker, as a listener? What lesson do we learn? We move into the Mubarak days of Hajj. What does Hajj actually teach us? Number one, every one of us, in our small, humble way, we made effort in some form or the other to increase our ibadat during the month of Ramadan. Is that correct? Either through the tilawat of Quran, either through the dhikr of Allah, through the salatul layl, through zakat, through sadaqah. And if we did not make any form of effort to increase the ibadat, then from Allah's side, there is fasting, and there's the 20 rakats of Tarawih. What did this ibadat say to us? We've learned the lesson that the month of Ramadan, we increase the ibadat. The word ibadat is derived from the Arabic word, Ain Ba Dal Abd. This ibadat tells me as a speaker, it tells us as the listeners, that what is the definition of your ibadat? What does the ibadat want from you? What does it require from you? What does it demand from us? What is an abd? An abd is a slave. What is the quality of the slave? That he has a master, he will never turn against his master. The greatest form of ibadah, without an atom of doubt, is salah. If you take every rukun in salah, every posture in salah, what do we say? Allahu Akbar. What are you saying in reality? Ya Rabb, Ya Allah, Anta Akbar. Ya Allah, Ana Asghar. This is what you are saying when you move from qiyam to ruku, from ruku into sujood. What are you saying? Allahu Akbar. Allah, you are the most powerful. You are mighty. You are the master. You are everything, Allah. Ya Allah, Anta Akbar Allah. Ana Asghar Allah. I am the weakest. In every aspect, Allah. Mentally, I'm weak, Allah. My taqwa is weak. My ibadat is weak. Spiritually, I'm weak. Financially, I'm weak, Allah. Physically, I'm weak. This is the shahadat and the evidence that you are saying. And every rukun, what are we saying? Ya Allah, Anta Akbar Allah. You are great Allah. So what do we learn from this? We learn the quality of tawadhu. We learn the quality of humbleness. We learn the quality of simplicity. What does Hajj teaches us? One day this humble servant was sitting in the company of one buzuruk in the haram. And he said, if you take the word Hajj, that alone teaches us the lesson of abdiyat. Upon the jim, what do you get? The letter ha. Ha signifies the hilm, the glory and the might and the power of Rabbul Izzat. Jim signifies that I am a mujrim. I am filled with sin from head to toe. What is the duty of that mujrim? To bow down beside his Rabb and his Creator and say, Ya Allah, you are great, you are merciful, you are arhamur rahimin Allah. I can only get forgiveness through you. Now the question we ask ourselves, if we do not experience that tawadu, that humbleness, that humility, then I say to myself firstly, Allah, there is something wrong with my tilawat of Quran. There is something wrong with my dhikr Allah. There is something wrong with my salah. Why? My Shaykh, Abaji Rahmatullah Alayhi, Thumma Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, any person that is sincere, that is honest, that wants to bring about a change in his life, and especially during the Mubarak days of Ramadan, you are honest, you are sincere. How do I know? Ya Allah, show me some signs, some symbols, some symptoms, Allah, to say that I'm honest and I'm sincere. Allah said in the Holy Quran, هذا بصائر للناس وهدى ورحمة لقوم يقينون. When you are honest, when you are sincere, what does Allah give you? Allah give you basirat. What is basirat? Allah puts nur into the aql. Allah fortifies the aql. Allah strengthens the aql. Allah put clarity into the aql. The aql starts speaking to you. That is phase number one. It is a shahadat. It is an evidence. It is a proof to tell me that I am sincere, I am honest to get closer to Allah. What does Allah give you? Hada basair, basirat. The aql start developing the nur, clarity, stabilizing. It starts thinking correctly. Then Allah says, when you experience phase number one, phase number two is, hudan, I will give you hidayat. What is the hidayat? Abuji Rahmatullah explains, there was a phase and a time in my life. Now, Hazrat gives an example which is very important to us. Many of us, we are employed. We work for companies, be it Muslim companies, be it non-Muslim companies. Many a times you find, we have our own personal work to do. So I pick up the pen and the paper and I start writing. The pen doesn't belong to me. The paper doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the company. I pick up the telephone, I speak to my wife, I speak to my children, I speak to my friends, my personal things. It does not bother me, I am not concerned. But in the law, I must answer. Be it a non-Muslim company, be it a Muslim company. Those items were given to us for the well-being of the company, not for my personal use. Now that Allah give me the basirat, I am too scared to pick up the pen and the paper because it does not belong to me. I am too scared to pick up the telephone. I am too scared to take the company's vehicle. It does not belong to me. What is this? Basirat. The aql becomes clear. It becomes strong. The aql starts speaking. You start questioning yourself. There was a phase and a period in my life. I would deal in items. Whether it's under the counter or above the counter. Whether it's legal or illegal. It meant nothing to me. Now there's a phase that I go through, Ya Allah, this is not my haq. This does not belong to me, Allah. It is an innocent person's haq. Basirat. Now you start speaking. When the aql starts speaking, when Allah puts clarity and nur into the aql, now you start getting hidayat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, once making hisab kitab in the Baitul Maal, after Isha Salah, so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala walking past. These are great people. Ja'ala Allah ta'ala haq ala lasani Umar. Allah put haq onto the tongue of Hazrat Umar. Whatever he speaks, it is haq. He saw Hazrat Ali And he was tired, so he decided to speak a little to Hazrat Ali to take off the pressure. And as Hazrat Ali got near, he blew off the candle. Hazrat Ali was surprised. Amir Mu'mineen, how do we speak in the dark? He said that this candle or this amount of electricity or light that I'm using or fire, it does not belong to me. It is the haqq of the Muslimin. Now I am speaking to you, it is my personal thing. So we speak in the dark. What is this? Basirat, nur of the aql, clarity, steadfastness of the aql. The aql starts speaking. When you experience this, phase number two, he died. What did Allah say? Rahmah. Now my rahmah comes. What is rahmah? Maqbool indallah. Now you find, whatever you want to do, be it your sleeping, be it your eating, be it your ibadat, you are very conscious. Ya Allah, I must see now that this amal of mine must be in conformity with the pleasure of Allah. So if I do not experience the basirat, I can clearly and safely say to myself, Allah, I am not sincere. You have promised if I'm sincere, if I'm honest, you will give me the basirat, the nur of aql. When the nur of aql comes, what will I get? I will get hidayat. When I get hidayat, I am maqbool in the Allah. One day, one wali of Allah, many years, sacrificed his time making the ibadat of Allah. Now don't forget, Iblis worked with every individual according to his capacity. He goes to the ulama, he goes to the qurra, he goes to the businessman, he goes to the human, but his shape and his size and his strategy is always different. So this wali of Allah, he planted the seed of waswasa and doubt in his mind. And what did he say? 40 years of ibadat, not a single day did Allah whisper in your ears. Not a single day did Allah give you some sort of vision, some sort of dream, to say that you are maqbool in Allah. You're wasting your time. Therefore, Abaji Rahmatul Alayhi, Haji Farooq Sahab Rahmatul Alayhi, what did they say? O mu'min, O believers, O listeners, it is important that you have a murshid, a sheikh, a proper ustaz to guide you along. It is not necessary that you must take bet, but you need somebody to take you by your hand to lead you through the path to get closer to Allah. So he decided, let me sleep away, forget about Salatul Layl. The very same evening he saw Rabbul Izzat in a dream. Allah said to him, Ya Abdi, my slave, my servant, why did you stop speaking to me? Said Allah, there is no signs, there is no vision, nothing comes in my ear. Allah said, my servant, is this not sufficient for you that I've allowed you opportunity, I've given you tawfiq and guidance to speak to me? If you were not my beloved, if you're not my wali, I would never ever give you tawfiq and guidance to speak to me. Is that not sufficient enough? Is that not shahadat to prove to you that my Lord loves me, my Allah loves me? That is the reason He is giving me the hidayat. So what do I say? Question ourselves. If I do not experience that tawadhu, that humbleness, if it does not manifest through my eyes, through my ears, through my nose, through my tongue, through my mind and my heart, through my clothing, what do I say, Allah? That I am not sincere, I am not honest. Now we turn back the pages of history. Never ever will history repeat itself. The most dynamic, the most unique, the most blessed of historical events ever to transpire, transpired on the surface of the earth during the 8th year of Hijri. Sahaba said, خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رمضان من مكة إلى المدينة ومعه عشرة آلاف يسوم ويسومون. The greatest of Allah's makhluk set out on the most historical, the most blessed, the greatest of events ever to transpire on the surface of the earth during the month of Ramadan. The Mubarak Prophet of Allah took up arms. He was fasting and we were fasting. Brothers, fakir, great fikr and worry. During the Mubarak month of Ramadan, physically taking up arms, fighting a jihad against the kuffar. Why? So that Mubarak deen must be preserved, protected, safeguarded, and it can be presented to us. Where is our youth? Al-jihadu ma'adhin ila yawmin al-qiyamah. You can take the ruh of this ummah, you will never take the jihad out of it. Today, respected elders and brothers, unfortunately, make me mouth. We have taken the jihad aspect out of our youth. Question myself, question yourself. We have removed the jihad aspect from our youth. What did Allah replace in their hearts? Allah replaced in their hearts wahad. What is the wahad? The love for the dunya and the fear for death. Jihad is coming out from their hearts. Man alima ramya thumma taraka falaysa minni. Look how severe are the words of Nabi Karim. Whoever amongst you learns the art of riding a horse, who learns the art of swimming, who learns the art of self-defense, who learns the art and the capability of using a firearm, and he neglects that Mubarak duty, you do not belong to my ummah. Nevertheless, the greatest of Allah's makhluk declared the greatest of war during the greatest of months. And where did the battle take place? At the greatest and the most Mubarak and the most sacred plains, which is the Haram. And who accompanied? The greatest and the most mightiest of soldiers, Mujahideen, generals that the earth could ever produce. 10,000 strong of Sahaba accompanied Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they marched on the Mubarak city of Makkah, known as the conquest of Makkah. The greatest of battles fought by the greatest of Allah's makhluk teaches us one of the greatest lessons. What is the lesson? How did Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam enter Fatah Makkah? When he entered Makkah, he bowed his head on the camel with humility, humbleness, simplicity. Why? The entire Makkah was gripped with fear. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala was appointed to establish the flag in Makkah. His eyes fell on Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim. 21 years of pain, suffering, persecution and hardship appeared to him clearer than that of crystal. When he looked at Abu Sufyan, what did he say? Al-yawmu yawmul malhamah. Today is the day of battles. The earth will never witness a battle. Today is 21 years of revenge. Al-yawmu alladhi tustahallu al-ka'ba. Today is the day that Allah made the Kaaba halal upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he can shed blood on the plains of the Haram. Makkah was gripped with fear. As Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered the Mubarak plains of the Haram, his Mubarak gaze fell upon Abu Sufyan. And what did he say to him? Ya Abu Sufyan, oh Abu Sufyan, tell me, what did Sa'd ibn Ubadah say to you? And he said, O Prophet of Allah, this is what he mentioned. He said, he have faulted. Wallah, I take an oath in Allah's name. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ إِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ تُلَقَى. Today is a day of mercy. يَوْمُ الْمَرْحَمَةِ. I will say to you what Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to his brothers. There is no revenge. There is no turning back. I will forgive you and undoubtedly Allah will forgive you. You are free to leave the plains of the Haram. On those very same plains, on this very same day, the most Mubarak khutbah was delivered. Amongst the Mubarak words, Kullu bani Adam min Adam wa Adam min Turab. Where do you come from? Your forefather is Adam. Where did Adam come from? From soil. What did our Akabirin said? Kharajta min Turab naqiyan nazifan. When you were born on the earth, when you came from the soil, how did you come out? Clearer than that of crystal, whiter than that of milk, completely pure and clean. وَإِذَا عُدْتَ, when you return to the soil, how did you return? مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ, filled from head to toe with sin. Is this not a shahadat? Is this not an evidence? Is this not proof? Oh man, what are you worth? Absolutely nothing. Tawadu, humbleness, simplicity. A person by the name of Safwan ibn Umayyah, he was the person who spearheaded the pain and the suffering towards Muslim. He extended the persecution. Whenever Musulman would enter Makkah Sharif, for 21 years, they were persecuted. They were tortured. Their homes were destroyed. On the arrival of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he fled to Yemen. One of his relatives, a Sahaba, came and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I seek amnesty. I want aman for Safwan ibn Umayyah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not only grant him that aman, he took that Mubarak Amama. That Amama that he used when he entered the Mubarak place of the Haram, and he presented that Amama to his arch enemy. What is this? The manifestation of the tawadhu. So therefore, if that salah of mine, that tilawat of mine in the month of Ramadan, my zakah, my sadaqah, my dhikr, cannot give me that tawadhu, then what do I say? Ya Allah, there is something wrong with my tariqah and my method of my ibadat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, one day making gush, his ears fell upon music. He was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was the king, he was the Muhtasib. He had the full right to enter anybody's home. He jumped over the wall, and we know the whip of Umar is the language of Allah. Immediately, the person who was engaged in the music looked at Amir al-Mu'mineen, and what did he say? Amir al-Mu'mineen, let it be clear to you, I have committed only one sin. You have committed three sins. Hazrat Umar stood in amazement. What are the sins? He said, Allah said in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا تَدَخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ, that when you enter anybody's house, you're not allowed to enter anybody's house, حَتَّى تَسْتَقْدِسُوا, until you seek permission. Even your own home, when you go, knock on the door and call out your name aloud. وَتُسَلِّمُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, make salam for that. You have faulted Amir al-Mu'mineen. You did not enter my house seeking my permission, nor did you make salam. Fair enough, that is one sin. What is the second sin? وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, it is haram to spy on another Muslim. I accept it. Amanna. What is the third sin? Allah said, وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبَوَابِهَا, when you enter the home, you must enter from the front door. You enter from the back. Put his musalla down, my two rakat salah, and say, Allah, I ask forgiveness. You ask Allah for tawbah, I ask Allah for tawbah, and there he left. What is this? The manifestation of the salatul layl, the manifestation of the tilawat of the Quran, the manifestation of the dhikr of Allah, through his eyes, through his ears, through his nose, through his heart. Be honest with ourselves. Would we be able to do this to our wife if she challenged us? Be honest. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf al-Ajlani rahmatullah alayhi, Abuji gave this little story. One day he came home after Zohr namaz, knocked on the door. They asked, who is it? He said, Ashraf Ali. His wife said, I've got some mehman here. Bahut acha, make some hijab and parda. Now don't forget, this is very, very important. Many of us are related to the mashayikh, we are related to the akabirin, to the silsila. You will always find in our silsila, very, very particular with hijab. Very, very particular. These are one of the most dangerous things on the earth, to violate the hijab and the parda system. Made the parda, and he came into the house, he made salam. The wife said to him, Hazrat, I did not prepare anything. Koi baat nahi? There's nothing wrong with it. Is there yesterday's food? Yes, it is. She got up. Don't wake up. Look after the mehman. Tell me, where's the food? Said, it's kept in the pantry or the kitchen, whatever it is. I imagine such a great wali of Allah, the mujaddid of the time, went to the pantry, started blowing the fire. As the fire developed heat, took out the food, heat the food up, put the dasturkhan down, ate. Finish eat, wash the dishes, put it away. Made salam to the wife and said, Alhamdulillah, I have eaten. I'm on my way out. Is there any work that you want? Is there anything you need from the bazaar place? Said, Hazrat, I've got a little letter to write. She could not write. To my family. Sat down. She dictated. He started writing. Finished. He read the letter out for her. Closed the letter. And what did he say to her? When I get back to the Khanka now, my mail will go out around about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Inshallah, I will include your mail and I will send it off. Leave alone that. That is not important. He goes to the Khanka, sends the mail off, comes back after Maghrib. That particular letter that you have written through my hands, that you wanted to go off to a certain place, alhamdulillah, I send it off. What is this? The manifestation of the Salatul Layl, the dhikr of Allah, the tilawat of the Quran, the abd, the ibadat, manifests through his system. Shah Ismail Shaheed, rahmatullah alayhi, he was the person that spearheaded the jihad against the British. Just to show you his maqam and his status. He would practice swimming because it was needed in the jihad after Asr. The Jamna and the Ganga Ramna was very famous. He would start from the one side, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and he would start swimming. When he reached the other side of the river, it would be just about Maghrib time, Kul a'udhu bi nas malikin nas, and he'll finish Khatam al-Quran. This is maqam. One day, they needed forces. They needed people for the jihad. Somebody told him, Hazrat, a girl from a very noble family, a young girl, because conditions were very, very hard under the British rule. She had fallen prey to her nafs. A young girl, very pretty, from a noble family, she had sold herself. She is selling her body. Made 2 rakat salah, took his horse. They were mujahideen. And I always say to our people, our qabirin with Allah's fadl, they not only sit on the musalla and break tasbih, wallahi al-azim, they broke the swords in the battlefield. Took his horse and he went out. And this young girl was standing on the balcony. He circled around her and he looked into her eyes. That was all. And he turned his horse and he started moving. Wallah, the impact of that tawajjuh was so great. This little girl ran down. And she started chasing the horse until she got in front of the horse and she held the reins. And she said, Hazrat, what did you do to my life? Take my hand in bed and include me onto the jihad. Made a bed immediately. And her duty was to clean the horses and prepare them for jihad and feed them water. This was the maqam and the status of who? Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi. Now, his ibadat, his dhikr and his tilawat, what do we find? One day, going for an operation, preparing his troops, he set out to a certain place. He sent his men in as reconnaissance men. He looked at the time, it was Salatul Layl. He went to the masjid and said, I will engage in Salatul Layl and make dua to Allah. My men are busy picking up information. He knocked on the door, the muazzin, the bangisa. He opened, and we know what type of people some of these muazzins and these bangisabs are, very, very cheeky. So when he saw Shah Ismail Shaheed and these awliya of Allah in their tattered and torn clothing, the wadu manifested through everything in their life, through their eyes, through their speech, through their clothes. So he asked this old man, tell me something. Old man, what do you want? He said, I want to make ihtikaf in the house of Allah. He said, what? This part of the night? Took him physically and he pushed him out. And Hazrat came back again and he said, I will not allow you old man in this masjid. And eventually he kicked Hazrat Shah Ismail Shaheed behind the butt. And when he kicked him, he went out. He smiled to himself and he said, Ya Allah, today you have taught Ismail what is the haqiqah and the reality. He is only worth one kick. But the ikhlas and the sincerity was so great. Do or die, I must perform the 2 rakats and ask Allah for assistance. Eventually the bangisab, the muazzin, he lost hope. And Hazrat came in and he offered his salah. Whilst engaged in his salah, the troops came back. And when he saw these Pathans, massive sized people, the bangisab couldn't even move. He was vibrating. Hazrat made salam and he went and he kissed his hand. Have no fear. These people will do you nothing. They're under my command. What you did today, you have taught me what is the definition of tawadu and humbleness. Now, let us look at the story of Shah Ismail Shaheed. One of the greatest mujahid that India could ever produce. A person came to him for assistance and help. And he said, Hazrat, I've got some problem with the man down the road. I owe him some money. Hazrat, if you can do me a small favor to write a little letter for extension on my credit. Hazrat said, I've got no objection whatsoever. I will write the letter. But are you aware that this man is my arch enemy? Hazrat, please, the entire country accept you. Your maqam and your status. He said, leave alone maqam and status, but for your sake I will write the letter. And he wrote the letter, making the darkhas, making the application, for my fellow Muslim, please give me extension. This person went there, and he said, Ala Hazrat, the Mujahid of our time, Amir Mu'mineen, sent this little letter. Didn't even open the letter. He said, leave alone, Mujahid, Amir Mu'mineen, leave alone Hazrat. Do me a favor, take this letter, and he made it like a wick that you light in a candle or in a lamp. And tell that particular Hazrat and Mujahid, he knows where to put this. Now, respected elders and brothers, one important point my Hazrat Abuji Rahmatullah mentioned. Today you find it is a common practice. Somebody says something about somebody else, you go and you say that on that person's face. At least he said it in his absence. But you said it on that person's face. This is how fitna and facade is created. He was simple, a jahil. He came and he said, Hazrat, I asked Maaf. You were right. He said, I must tell you, you must take this thing here and put it up your back passage. Look at the Mubarak words of Shah Ismail Shaheed. He said, Wallah, I take a qasam on Allah's name. If your work could be done, I will take this and put it up my back passage if your work can be done through that. What is this? Tawadu, humbleness, simplicity. Where does this stem from? From the 30 days of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. My traweeh, my dhikr, my salatul layl, my tasbih, my fasting. What does it teach me? Ibadat. Ibadat is derived from the three words of Arabic. Abd. What does abd mean? That I must lower myself, I must humble myself. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, what do we say? We are very quick to say we are Hanafis, staunch Hanafis. We follow this great Imam. What did this Imam leave for us? One day coming from Zohr Salah. Now don't forget, any person that is on haq, any person that wants to get closer to Allah, it is impossible that you will trot the path on this dunya without enemies. It is impossible. If you want to befriend Allah, if you want to get closer to Allah, if you want to get nearer to Allah, you want Allah's wilayat, you want Allah's friendship, then you must embrace yourself for the various forms of pain and suffering. Imam Sahib coming from Zohr Namaz, he observed there's somebody behind him, and this person started off, abusive language, swearing him, cursing him. Imam Sahib did not even pick up his head or turn around, and he walked. When he reached his home, his house, now look at the akhlaq, the tawadu. He turned around and he said to this fellow Muslim, this is my house, this is my door. I feel disrespectful to turn my back on you. So before I enter my door and shut my door on you, whatever you want to say, say it to me now. And then when I go in, I don't want to turn my back on you, nor do I want to shut the door on you. What is this? Tawadu. That person felt so embarrassed and he left. Now, why do we emphasize, why are we highlighting this tawadu? Do not forget, it is impossible to reach Allah. It is impossible to get closer to Allah. It is impossible to become a friend of Allah without tawadu. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, the offspring of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the very famous story when he went to the Mubarak plains of the Haram. What did he say? O Prophet of Allah, what will I tell my people when I return? The Mubarak hand of Nabi Karim came out and he kissed the hand. What was the first thing that he did? He laid himself at the entrance of Masjid Nabawi. And what did he say? Sayyid Ahmad Rifai is fit for the feet of the people. Walk over me. Somebody questioned him, how did you get so close to Allah? How did you reach that maqam? What did he say? I went to the door of Hajj and I knocked on the door. Millions of people were standing, waiting to get closer to Allah through Hajj. I went to the doors of Umrah. Millions and millions of people were knocking on the door to get to Allah. I went to Salatul Layl, Tahajjud Salah. Millions were sitting in the queue waiting to utilize that avenue to get closer to Allah. I sat with Tasbih making the dhikr of Allah. Millions were engaged in dhikr, utilizing the dhikr to get closer to Allah. Wallah, I knocked at the door of the Wadu, not a single human being, and I entered this door. So therefore, in short, may Allah give us the tawfiq and guidance to restructure our life, to rethink. The Mubarak month of Ramadan is gone. focus on this verse, Hada Basairun Nas, is, am I witnessing that basirat? Am I experiencing that basirat? Am I experiencing the hidayat of Allah? Am I experiencing the maqbuliyat of Allah? If not, then what do I say to myself? Allah, I am not sincere, Allah, I am not honest. Therefore, Allah, I go back onto the musalla, make my 2 rakats, and I renew my pledge with Allah. And I give Allah the undertaking and the promise, Allah, that Allah, inshallah, whilst I'm sitting in the house of Allah now, inshallah. Now, how do we know if this tawadu is in my lifestyle? What is the tawadu of the eyes? Only a slave can develop tawadu. What is the tawadu of the eyes? The eyes must bow down to Allah. If this eyes rebel against Allah, then what do I say to myself? Allah, phase number 1, the basirat is not there. Phase number 2, the hidayat is not there. Phase number 3, maqbuliyat is not there. Why? What did Allah says? Hadith al-Qudusi. Allah mentioned in the Hadith al-Qudusi that when I fall in love with anybody, then what do I do to that person? The first thing that I do to that person, when Allah falls in love with the person, I become the eyes of that person that he look with, that he sees with. I become the tongue that the person speaks with. I become his ears that he listens with. I become his hands. In other words, Allah becomes your eyes. Allah becomes your tongue. Allah becomes your ears. Allah becomes your hands. Now we ask ourselves, the Mubarak month of Ramadan passed by. Did my eyes become Allah? Did my ears become Allah? Did my tongue become Allah? Did my hands become Allah? What is the definition of this? Abuji Rahmatullah explained us. When Allah becomes your eyes, you find these eyes refuse now to look at wrong things. It detests wrong things. It only wants to look at good things. If it slips along the wayside and look at wrong things, immediately it lowers the gaze and says, Allah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Allah, please put back the nur into the eyes. The ears refuse to listen to wrong things. It only wants to listen to good things. The tongue refuses to make the ghibat. It refuses to slander. The hands refuses to do wrong things. The legs of mine refuses to walk towards wrong things. This is a sign. This is symptoms. This is shahada to show that now you are maqbool in Allah. And Allah says, when you are maqbool in Allah, you will find me alongside your pain and your suffering. You will find me alongside your struggle. When you are struggling along the path to improve the eyes, the ears, the nose and the limbs, you will find my nusrat penetrating you. You will find my nur in your heart. You will find it in your eyes, in your ears. So may Allah give us the tawfiq and guidance to make amal on this Mubarak majlis of our great Shaykh, Hazrat Mulana Masila Rahmatullah Alayh. Ask Hazrat Mulana to make a little dua.
اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وصحابه بارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم رب اجعلني مقيم صلاة من ذرية ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفرني ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله